All right, Brother Gary Shepherd is from Jacksonville, North Carolina. He's been here a number of times, and I keep inviting him back. I don't know. Somebody asked me, why'd I get these two guys for our Bible conference again this year? And I said, because they come the cheapest, these two. Oh, they're dear friends. We've known Tim and Debbie a long time, known Gary and Betty a long time. Unfortunately, Betty couldn't come with Gary, and we miss her. Very thankful, Gary, you're here. You come and bring the devotional to us this evening. We're glad to have you.
Well, it's good to see each and every one of you again. Some of you I can keep up with a little bit. I'm a sort of a half lurker on Facebook, and somebody got a new hairstyle, I understand, and Kathy picked blueberries, and Dan said she ate too much, and you know, things like, important things like that, you know. All right, open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I'd remind you that this book of Exodus is a book about redemption. And it is the redemption by blood and by power of the nation of Israel, God's people, who are a type and a picture of His spiritual Israel, His church. And we know that this redemption, in so many ways, pictures true redemption. But the question, as I've been studying the book of Exodus, came to my mind when I read a couple of verses here in these early chapters as to what is the purpose of redemption? Or why is it that God saves us? And if He saves us from our sins, if we in His righteousness are suited and fit in Christ to be instantly brought into His presence, why does He leave us here on this earth? What is our purpose as a redeemed people? Well, if you look here in Exodus 5, I believe by what the Lord Himself says when He commands Pharaoh to release the people, He also gives us maybe a hint about the reason why we're redeemed and left to live here for a period of time on this earth. In the first verse of chapter 5, when God is giving to Moses these specific instructions and commands, it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.'" And then just two verses later, He restates it again in verse 3. "And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.'" And then if you look over in Exodus chapter 7, in Exodus 7, as Moses continues to get these instructions, verse 16 says, "And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear." Well, all of this, of course, has to do with worship of God. And the only people on this earth that can worship God, or ever do worship God, is that people who are redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and liberated. Only a liberated people can really worship the Lord God. And if you notice here in all these instances, they are to go out 3 days' journey. Redeemed, 3 days' journey into this wilderness, and there they're to do these things, which those 3 days seem to always speak to me about the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a saved, redeemed, delivered, set free people. But they are delivered as we are. They are set free in order to do some things. And since there are no accidents or no extra things in Scripture, the way that all these three verses state this, it seems like they kind of sum up the whole of it in three things. The first thing it says that this redeemed people, this liberated people that they are to do, they are to go out into the wilderness, and it says, hold a feast unto God. Hold a feast unto Jehovah God. And I thought about it, that's exactly what we do. We gather together, especially in those times of worship, to hold a feast unto our God. We come together and through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we feed on that one that's the bread of life. We drink of that living water that bubbles up in our soul. And we receive in that picture, as that was said in John 6, when he told them, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And what he was talking about there is the spiritual appropriation by faith of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather, the word is preached, we read about the manna, we read about those green pastures that the sheep feeding, we hear about Christ. And rather than coming together for some kind of morbid, despondent, bringing kind of an occasion, we come together to feast in this wilderness on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He spreads a table for us in the midst of our enemies. And we are strengthened and nurtured and blessed and rejoice in. And of all the things that we have this tendency to do, but always do it in the wrong way, the one thing he says that we can do and do to the fullness is, he says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Finally, something I don't have to be warned about, diet over. But the feast of the Lord, we are to let our souls delight itself in fatness. The fatness of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when we gather together for the Lord's table, we're not gathered together to have some kind of a pity party for Jesus. We gather around these elements that represent the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through these things, we're brought to the remembrance of Him and what He's done for us. And we feast on that. I can remember in religion, when they'd turn the lights low and they'd light the candles and everybody would slip around and do these things thinking they were so spiritual and pious, but it's a feast. He said, do it even in remembrance of me till I come. And then it says that they were to go out into the wilderness 3 days' journey and sacrifice. Well, you say, well, that's all past. No, it's not. The sacrifice of animals and animal blood, surely that is, and that one sacrifice for sins forever, that's been offered in the doing and dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. But He leaves this with us, that we are left in this world a kingdom of priests unto our God. And the priests offer the sacrifice. So what is our sacrifice? Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and look down at that 15th verse. We have a sacrifice to offer to God. Actually, sacrifices to God. Verse 15, the apostle says, by Him, we don't do anything apart from Christ. But by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This people being redeemed would go out in the wilderness. They would wander in that wilderness 40 years. And there never would be a day that went by that a sacrifice of some kind was not offered up to God. And so He says to us as a redeemed people that we offer up the sacrifice of praise continually. Now listen to this. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We are to continually, prayerfully, offer up to God praise for who He is and praise for what He's done, thanksgiving. Let me read you a verse out of Jeremiah 33. This is one of those prophecies that God gave, and He brings it to pass in His redeemed people. Jeremiah 33 and verse 10, it says, thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant, and without beast, they'll be heard the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for He is good. The Lord is good. For His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Now, there's an awful lot of murmuring going on these days about politics, about the economy and all that. But in Jerusalem, in the church, there is to be constantly going up thanksgiving and praise to God. And if you do that, it just surprises you how little time you have to murmur. God, we thank you. We're to think about Him and rejoice in Him and rejoice in His covenant mercies. Rejoice in the things that Christ rejoiced in. Father, I thank Thee that You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, but You've revealed them unto babes. That's all I am, Lord. I'm a babe. But thank You for revealing to me the mysteries and the wonders of Your own self and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was a third one, wasn't there? He said, you go 3 days' journey in the wilderness. You're a redeemed people, liberated. He said, that they might serve Me. Serve Me. You remember when people used to talk about going into full-time service for the Lord? True believers don't do that. They're already in it. All God's people are in full-time service to the Lord. But how do we serve the Lord? I mean, what is the most fundamentally basic thing that the Lord's people do to serve Him? Well, in truth, we serve the Lord when we serve His church. We're to do all as unto the Lord. As a redeemed people who are bought with a price, we are to glorify God in our bodies and our spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a price, and so He says, be ye not the servants of men. But I think most of all, we serve the Lord when we serve His people, when we serve our brethren. Our Lord in Matthew 25 says, you come on in and enter into this blessing prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come in, you who have gave Me water to drink, who gave Me this and that and the other, who visited Me in prison. And they said to the Lord Jesus, Master, when did we do these things to you? He said, you did them to Me when you did them to the least of these, My little ones. When we serve the Lord's people. And He said, the one that would be chief among you, greatest among you, let him be a servant. But when we bear one another's burdens, and when we extend out our hand to lift up and help our brethren. Oh, I know we're to do good to all men, but He said especially those that are of the household of faith. When we serve one another, we serve Him. And that's what a redeemed people do. We feast. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, well, I believe the Lord saved me, what now? Well, we feast. The Lord sets a table for us and we feast. And we sacrifice to Him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving continually. And we serve Him. We can't go up before His great throne and do anything for Him. But we ought to always remember as much as we do for His people, we do for Him, and we serve Him. But only a liberated people, only a people set free from all their sins, only a people redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God can worship Him, feast in Him, sacrifice to Him, and serve Him. Our Father, we pray in this hour that we might, as a redeemed people, be made to rejoice in our God. Lord, we pray that we might know that spirit of liberty, whereby being set free, we might, out of grateful and thankful hearts, thank You in these days. That we might set forth and also receive the things that Your people feast on. And we pray, Father, that You might meet with us, that through and by the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious sacrifice, that we might give praise and thanksgiving to You. In these days, Lord, that You've set apart, we pray that all honor and all glory might be to You. We have, as Your people, even many individuals and many situations, many problems on our hearts and our minds. But make, we pray, these hours to be a little oasis to our souls, that we might rest and be refreshed, that Christ might be glorified in everything that is said, everything that is sung. And we pray that You'd receive our thanks. Thank You so much for everything that You give to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for saving us by grace. Thank You as God for acting like God. And in so doing, giving us every reason to worship and to honor You. We pray for all these situations, especially all these individuals, family and friends and people all around us, Lord, that You made to become a part of our lives. We pray for Your people everywhere. We pray for Your servants who labor to preach the gospel of Your glory, who seek to comfort Your sheep. And may everything, both now and for all eternity, redound to Your glory, worlds without end. Forgive us and help us. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.